few minutes of Hashgacha Rabbosai. Let's pick up where we left off last week. We gave a few general thoughts on attitudes towards Ruchnius versus Gashmius in the context of understanding why the Torah does not seem to advocate being a vegetarian, and why the Torah gives license for human beings to enjoy meat, even though there's also a notion of Tzar Bal Chaim. There seems to be a sensitivity that the halacha gives much focus on and priority to in making sure that other living creatures in this world are treated properly and with respect. So let's look at it through the lens of the Misil Sisharm. Misil Sisharm, discussing an entirely different subject in the very first perek of the Sefer, actually lends a little insight onto the topic of vegetarianism. Ramchal refers to that perek, that first perek, as an explanation of what a person's purpose in this world is, so that you go through life productively. What am I doing here as part of Hashem's creation? And he quotes a number of midrashim, two midrashim most prominently, to illustrate his thesis. And one of them actually takes us back once more to Adam HaRishon. It says in Qoheles Rabbah that when Hashem first created man, he took him on a tour, all of Gan Eden, and he showed him every single tree in the garden that was growing there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, see how pleasant, how beautiful are all my creations, and it's all for you. All for you, just be mindful that you don't mess it up. Don't ruin my world. That's the lashon of the Medrash. Now, this Medrash is often cited by environmentalists, and there's a lot of truth to that association. The National Park Service in Israel has this Medrash posted on the signs at many of the entrances to various nature trails, the hiking trails in the Galil and the Golan, because a person should reflect that you have a little bit of the potential of Adam HaRishon to preserve the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation and not destroy it. But Ramchal says that this has nothing to do with environmentalism. It demonstrates that creation was given to man for his use. And being that man is alive in order to come closer to Hashem and earn Olam Haba while he's in this world, that's how the Ramchal begins. So he can either heed that charge that was given to Adam HaRishon, preserve the beautiful creation of Hashem by using it in a way that facilitates that mission. But if he's drawn away from Ruchnius, this is the key. If he's drawn away from Ruchnius, away from his earning Olam Haba, to the mundane, to the physical side of this world, he's actually destroying the world at the same time. Because if nature serves man and man serves Hashem, then when man does not serve Hashem, nature is essentially deteriorating. And for that reason, in the other medrash that the Ramchal brings, we find that the 12 stones that surrounded Yaakov Avinu set them up to protect him at night when he was sleeping on Har Moriah and he had his famous dream, they all scrambled to be the one rock that would sit under the head of Yaakov Avinu himself. They all fused, actually, miraculously, into one stone, because each stone sought its fulfillment by being there to service Yaakov Avinu. Let Yaakov's head rest on me, until they all came together and shared that privilege. And this is what the Misil Sisharm says. Ki ema adam nimshach achra olam umisrachim miboro. If a person is pulled by the desire that, we'll say, Olam Haza often exerts on a person, and by definition, therefore, he's pulled away from Hashem, hinehu miskalkal, he is messing himself up. He is deteriorating. Umakalkal ha'ulam imo. Because he's veering away from his mission, the world's mission is also being torn apart. If he's able to maintain control and attach himself to Hashem, umishtamish min ha'olam, and necessarily that means using the world raklios lisiola vorosaboro to use the world for assistance and to fuel his avoda of Hashem, hu misale ve'olam atzmo misalimo. Likewise, he becomes elevated, and the entire creation is elevated together with him. And one last line, Misil Sisharm, ki hinei ilo gadol hu lebrios kulam, the great Eloi, the great elevation of all creation, b'yos ha'mashamshe adam ha'shalom ha'makudash v'kdushas v'yizbarach, only expresses itself, it's manifest when those aspects of creation are the mashamshin, they are the tools, they are the accomplices of the man who is whole and holy in the holiness of Hashem. That's a fantastic line. The greatest ennoblement that any creature can experience is to partner, as it were, with the man who engages wholesomely in the Kedusha of the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the greatest elevation. When I read these words, the Mesillas Yesharim, so I'm always reminded of a quip I saw in the name of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He said it critically against vegetarianism, not critically against having rachmanas on all creatures of Hashem, but he said that some people may think that they're saving the animals and doing them a favor by protecting them and not eating them. But in reality, if you'd ask the cow what he would like, he'd be pretty disturbed if he interfered with him joining this purpose of the Eloi Habriya, of raising the creation, provided that the one who would be eating the cow is a qualified other mashalim that we're discussing in the Mesillas Yesharim. So Rabbi Yaakov himself, as it's quoted in the Sefer Emes Yaakov, elaborates a little more on this. What does it mean that you're doing a favor to the animal by eating it? If you'd ask the animal, he'd want to be eaten by you. He says, well, we have to acknowledge, as we did from the historical background before the Mabul, yes, it's correct, animal life is not hefker. It has to be respected and properly preserved, and killing anything is still killing it. But in a certain context, it is also the greatest service to that item. It could be plants as well as animals. Don't simply pull out a blade of grass for no reason. A kid shouldn't just kill flies or trap bees just for fun. There's a story of Rav Kook and Rav Aryeh Levine. They were once walking together in Yerushalayim, and I think Rav Levine pulled a leaf off a tree that they were passing, as people usually do. You pull a blade of grass that you're sitting on, you pull a little bit off of a bush, and Rav Kook got upset with him. He said, how do you know what the purpose of that branch or that leaf was? And you have now made it disjointed. You have killed it. When it's done properly, however, the Rabban explains that this is the pshat. Tov Hashem l'kol, v'rachamav l'kol ma'asav. We say that all the time. Racham l'kol ma'asav. His mercy is on all creatures, even the mehem going to slaughter, can be the greatest existential rachamim for that creature. And for that reason, the Mefarshim explain, in our very Gemara, in Pesachim Mem Tesem Beis, it says that a Talmud Chacham can eat meat, but an Am Ha'aretz is prohibited from eating meat. Why? What's so special about a Talmud Chacham eating meat? Because the notion of the Eloi, the desired elevation of that animal that he's able to experience, is only relevant when the animal becomes one, so to speak, and elevated together with the mind and the heart that has the depth filled with meaning and purpose, with this upward trajectory of Torah umitzvos that brings it back towards Hashem. Otherwise, the cow might be better off in the pasture. But don't let the Am Ha'aretz get his hands on it. Call the Humane Society, because that's cruelty to animals, not letting the animal fulfill its purpose. Now, this failure, explains Rav Mashur, is what we clap in Vido and Yom Kippur, al chet shechatanu fanecha b'maychal u'b'mishta. We have sinned before you, Hashem. Forgive us for the sin that we have sinned before you. B'maychal u'b'mishta. Now, if you were writing that line in the Vidoy, maybe it would have made more sense to say, we're sorry for the aver that we did against you, against your will, Hashem. Be'achila u'b'shtia. Describe the action. That's really what a good deal of the rest of Al Chet, that's how it's formulated. We performed a chet against you, Hashem, through eating and through drinking. No. B'machal u'b'mishta, through the actual heft of the food itself. That item per se had the need in creation, an aspiration and purpose of elevation. We blew it because we ate without Kedusha. We ate without a mindset that the food or drink is there to strengthen me for its purpose, joining together with a human who's ingesting them in his Avodas Hashem, supporting his Avodas Hashem, facilitating his Avodas Hashem. That Michael and that Mishnah failed to be raised to the Eloi Gadol, described Ramchal, as essential to what we are doing in this world. So it's Achet Shechatanu Fanecha, B'Michael B'Mishnah, not B'Achilu B'Shtia, but the Etzem Michael and the Mishnah are also impacted through that behavior. Moshe Feinstein, in a drusha that was just published in a Sefer Kol Ram, so he taps into many of these points and sources that Rabbi Yaakov brings, and he adds a dimension as well as a takeaway. In our parsha, Hashem blesses and commands, I'm sorry, Letz's parsha, in other Marishon, blesses and commands all people to be fruitful and multiply and fill the world and dominate it, Pur Revu, Mulus Arz V'Kibshua. So what's the reason for that? Based on the Mesillas Yesharim, you have Pshat in the Pasuk. Hashem says, this is what you're doing here. This is what I'm going to charge you to accomplish, because all of creation has that charge. The intended mission and purpose for creation is in service of man. You have to have that dominion over nature in order to be able to then transform it as a means to avodas Hashem. And that's what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, really paraphrasing the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Yud Alef, Kol Ma Shebarach Shebarachu Balamo, Lo Baro El Chvodo. Everything that Hashem created is created only for His honor. Shenemar, Kol Anikur B'Shmi, Uchvodi Barasav. Hashem Himself says, that's what it's here for. We say in davening all the time, Baruch Hu Elokeinu, Shebarano Lechvodo. We're defining what we're doing here. And at this basis, that serves also the basis of the bracha that we say under the chuppah, one of the Sheva brachos, Hakol Bara Lechvodo. So we have to fill the world and use it and take advantage of Hashem's creation in order to give it meaning. If a person refrains from eating meat because they feel it's unethical, because they think it's unfair to the creature, so in reality, you're undermining the ethic that was communicated to Adam HaRishon, to people, directly from Hashem when they were created, when they were given that, okay, now go get them. Mulus ars v'kiv shua. The halacha of Tzar Bal Chaim, wherever it's found, does not apply whenever there's a tzoruch of man. Okay, so if you're sitting and learning or doing any other necessity, and there's a fly buzzing around and it's bothering you and you can't do what you need to do, so it's 100% mutter and it's appropriate to kill the fly, because for the tzoruch of Adam beats out the tzoruch of the Bal Chaim. It's true, Ramosha, again, in this whole dichotomy, in a separate discussion in Tshuva, says that if you ever need to kill a fly because it's buzzing around and bothering you, you should try to find an indirect way to do it, because we don't want to become cruel people. Our actions ultimately define us, and if we go around killing flies constantly, that will eat away a little bit at our rahmanas. But it still allows us, the fact that I am told I should swat the fly reminds me to appreciate that Hashem wants us to delineate man from animal in the terms of what they're doing here. This is the punchline. Going back to where we started, this reminder, the Pasuk in Kohelet, the Ramosha quotes, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Chaf, that animals and humans all end up in the same place. We all have the same mortality. And Moser Ha'adam in a Behema Ayin, like we quoted last time, this is also Pasuk, but it's in Karbanos, we say every morning. There's an external perception that there's really no difference between man and animal. They all die. But the internal perception, internal to Torah Hashkafa, is that may be the default. But we believe in neshama. We believe in nitzchis. We believe in eternal nature of the neshama. And so there's an imperative to take all of the chaya olam hazeh that surrounds us and use it and elevate it to be part of the same chaya netzach that the neshama enjoys. And here Moshe adds, that is all, it's all about the mentality. Let's say you're not a vegetarian. So why do you eat meat? Well, tastes good for sure. But it's more than that. There's an attitude that gives you license to eat it besides the taste. Some feel, why do we eat meat? Because it's the law of the jungle. The stronger species dominates the lower ones on the food chain. It's the survival of the fittest, right? So you take your kids to the farm. I take my kids to the farm sometimes, and there are cows out there. And they sit out there for hours and hours. They don't really display much intelligence or interest in guiding their destiny. They just move wherever they're prodded to go. So some people think, all right, therefore, we eat them because we're smarter, we're stronger, we're more sophisticated. I don't know if that's a conscious thought for many people, but it's an attitude or similar attitudes that may underlie the default way we look at the world without taking the Torah Shkafa. If we infuse our eating of other animals every time we sit down to a Shabbos meal or a Rosh Chodesh Suda today with a different thought process, that when you eat meat, you'll be makadish your entire existence. Think the right way. Hashem gave me the privilege to enjoy His creation, even other creatures, b'shvili nivra olam, because when I use that bria to add to the physical an element of spirituality that I was endowed with that they don't have, then I remember that I have that nobility. Eating meat is a moment of reflection almost that guides my life. First and foremost, the knowledge I have in neshama. The animal doesn't. A chelik of Hashem inside of me, the animal doesn't. And that sets me apart from all other aspects of creation. And maybe that's why there's a new depth, why we include meat at every Shabbos meal or every Yom Tov meal or Sudas Mitzvah. Because when we celebrate those occasions, that's where our uniqueness shines. So bring out the basar, because eating the basar is that reminder and infusion into our consciousness that we can raise all of creation through our approach to Gashmias, through our Shabbos, through our Yontif, through our mitzvahs. There's no more important idea to repeat, to reinforce throughout a person's life, because it's going to move the individual to make the right choices, how I spend my time, what's important, what's not, how to gear myself with an eye on the future beyond my Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba as well. It could be even things as unrelated, you think, as the what qualities matter in a spouse, the pros and cons that really are important in selecting a career, what matters that I should be preoccupied with my free time, and so on. The more I think of eating meat as not just a cruelty towards animals, but as almost as a defining character trait of humanity, of my existence and the rutzen of Hashem being fulfilled, the less I think of myself as just another organism higher up on the food chain. The more I think in those terms, it's impossible to remain on the same place of existence that I started with, but I'm always growing. Next time I need to have a bite of meat, it's not just a privilege, it's a musar shmuz. Every bite of meat is a musar shmuz that helps noble our avodas Hashem and our existence in this world. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Say.